Thank you, Sister Bandy. We appreciate Brother and Sister Bandy. They've served this church faithfully for many years. And we always enjoy her songs that she sings for us. Again, I want to say to everyone, we're glad you're here. We have some that are back today that have been out for some time. And we are certainly glad to see you. It seems that everything's opening up a little bit more every week, and a few more people are coming back, and we long for the day when we all can discard our masks and we can come into the house of the Lord and shake hands with one another and hug one another if we desire to do so, and worship the Lord. And so it's good to see each one today. Again, I do desire an interest in your prayers. I want to read a very familiar lesson today. It'll be taken from the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I'll read probably 10 verses. Beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it will be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for today, the spiritual resurrection. As I've thought about this and prayed about this, I feel like that it is important that everyone understand that when we are born into this world, that we're sinners. Not only are we sinners by nature, but when we reach the years of accountability and become accountable to God for our own sins, we experience a spiritual death. We become separated from God because of our sins. Now, I know that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, he took care in that sacrifice of those who are children, infants, They are not accountable for their sins. But the time comes in everyone's life when we realize that we are accountable and we become separated from God by our sins, and they have to be dealt with. So I want you to think about this with me just for a little while. The title that I have selected is a metaphor. It is a figure of speech. It's a word that is used to symbolize a spiritual fact, being dead in trespasses and in sins. And Paul, he was writing to this Gentile church, and he reminded them that God had quickened them, made them alive. They had been dead to God. And he had quickened them. He had made them alive. He had resurrected them from a state of being dead in trespasses and in sins to a state of being alive unto God. And he talked about how that we ourselves also in time past walked in the lust of our flesh. In other words, he said, we've all been dead in trespasses and in sins at some time. But God is rich in mercy. And it says that it is through his great love that he saves us. Now, we all know that the motive behind the plan of salvation is God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But to have everlasting and eternal life, you have to be born again. You have to be made alive. You have to be brought out of that state of being dead and separated from God by your sin. And so he says that it is by grace that you're saved, and that it's not by works of righteousness. And notice verse 6, he said that he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe that being saved and being a member of the family of God is an elevated position. I believe that God lifted us out of the miry clay of sin wherein we were held bondage. We were in bondage and we were held captive by Satan at his will. Could not rescue ourselves, did not have the power or the ability to liberate ourselves. But God, who is rich in mercy, he lifted us out of that state of being dead and in trespasses and in sins, and he gave us eternal life. That's a wonderful thing. And I want you to think with me a few moments. Now, I believe that there is two births. I believe there's the natural birth and the spiritual birth. I believe there is two deaths, perhaps even three deaths. The death of the body, but also there is the death of the soul. And there is eternal death that follows also if you don't get right with God. So, and there is two resurrections. The resurrection of the soul and the resurrection of the body. And you know, Jesus, he promised us in his holy word. He said that the hour is coming when all that are in the grave are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And your eternity will depend upon whether or not you have experienced the first resurrection or not. If you have never been raised from that dead state, if your soul has never been made alive in Christ Jesus, then when your body is raised from the dead, it will be a corruptible body. And it will not be glorified as will the bodies of the saints. And it will not enjoy eternity. You will not enjoy eternity if you have never been born again. If you don't get saved, if you don't experience this spiritual resurrection from the dead, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And so I don't know if I'm doing a very good job of explaining this or not, but I hope you can understand this. You're born, and until you reach the place where you understand, I need to make peace with God, you are secure in the arms of Jesus, so to speak. You're under his protective care until you're able in your own mind and heart to understand, I am a sinner and I need salvation and I need to seek my salvation and I need to make my election sure. I need to know that I have been born from above and that I have eternal life and that the Lord Jesus died to save me. Those things, I know this is perhaps very fundamental, but if you don't get this right, nothing's going to work out right. You have to be born again. You have to be saved. And you have to be brought out of that state of sin and death. And the Lord Jesus died to make that possible. Now, I want you to think about this. Death is a separation. You know, when you reach the years of accountability, you died spiritually. And you became separated from the protection that you have enjoyed from birth up to that point. Death separates and sin separates. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He became separated from God. And he said, the law, and I'm going to turn over there just very briefly, and notice this with you. He said, and the commandment which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and slew me. You know, sin is the transgression of the law. And when God reveals to your heart his law, that you have sinned and that you have come short of the glory of God and that you're not saved and that he requires absolute holiness in order to go to heaven, there are no unholy people in heaven. Those who are in heaven have been forgiven of their sins. And they have been made pure within. Their hearts have been purified through the Word of God and through the sacrifice, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls that regeneration. In regeneration, we're washed and we're cleansed and we're purified and we're made holy. And it is through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Our sins are forgotten. Our sinfulness is forgotten. And the holiness of the Lord Jesus is given to us as a gift of God. And it is a gift of God. It is not secured by any kind of works that you may do. But it is secured because of your faith in the Lord Jesus and what He done on the cross of Calvary. It is sufficient. His death on the cross is sufficient to save the entire world if they'd only turn from their sins and turn to the Lord Jesus and get saved. Now, I want you to think with me about this. Paul said, I was alive, but the commandment came. And when the commandment came and I couldn't obey it, and you know, we cannot live perfect in the flesh. You know, we're all sinners by nature. And we sin because it's our nature to sin. We love sin. That's what Jesus said. In the most familiar passage in the Bible, in the third chapter of the book of John, he said, you know, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He said, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And He said, and this is the condemnation. Excuse me. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so that's our nature. It's our nature to sin, and we'll sin. But God has provided that we can get forgiveness of our sins, that we can be given eternal life, and that we can be holy through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So I want you to know, you can't go to heaven, in your sinful state. You must be redeemed. And Jesus paid the ransom. You must be forgiven. And Jesus made it possible for you to be forgiven. And if you don't get saved, you won't be able to enjoy the bliss of heaven. If you could go to heaven without being saved, you would be the most uncomfortable person that has ever lived. You would be out of place because everybody around you would be holy. They would have incorruptible bodies, and they would have holy spirits. And they would be enjoying the holiness of God. And there you would be in your sins. And you could not enjoy a big heaven. But God made the preparation. And in regeneration, you know, nothing happens to the body. It happens to the soul. The soul that has been dead in trespasses and sin is made alive. It is reunited with God. And you have fellowship with God. And you have peace with God. And there's no condemnation. and no guilt because of sin, because your sins have been forgiven and have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And they've been put behind the back of God, where He will never see them, and He will never bring them up again, because they are forgiven and they're forgotten. And so God has made this provision. Now we all understand the death of the body. The death of the body, the spirit leaves leaves, and the body is left without life. It's just without life. And when the body dies, the soul, if you're saved, goes immediately into the presence of God. If it's not saved, it immediately goes into the torments of hell. And wherever they are, either in heaven above or in hell beneath, they're waiting for the resurrection of their bodies. And it will take place. I've already told you about that. When a body dies, you know what we do? We bury it. Or it returns to dust. A lot of people choose cremation anymore. And I don't think there's anything morally or scripturally wrong with that, if that's your desire. It's just a faster way back to dust. We're all going to return to dust. The Bible says, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so, the body decays, though. What I'm saying is, you don't want to keep a dead body around after it has died. You know, we read in the Bible about Jairus' daughter that died, and we read about the Syrophoenician woman whose son died. And we read about Lazarus who died, you know. And Lazarus had already been buried when Jesus came back to Bethany. And Martha was having a conversation with Jesus. If you'd have been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Don't you believe that? She said, oh, yes, Lord. I believe that my brother's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I believe he's going to rise. Well, Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they took him to the grave. And, of course, the shortest verse of the Bible is recorded there. He wept. And Jesus told them to take away the stone. And they took away the stone and Lazarus came forth. But the point I started to make was, when a body dies, you don't want to keep it around. You don't want to set it in the recliner. And please don't misunderstand, I don't mean to disrespect the dead. I want to make a point with this. You don't want to set a dead body in the recliner and leave it there. Because we have a corruptible body and it's going to decay. And as Martha said to Jesus, said, Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days, but now he stinketh. Our bodies are going back to the dust and they're going to decay. And so we can't preserve the body. We have to put it out of our sight. Made me think about what Abraham, when Sarah, his wife, died. He began to look for a place to bury. He tried to purchase a burial place for her. But the man wouldn't sell it. He said, I'll give it to you, but I won't sell it to you. Now, I'm paraphrasing. That's all in the 23rd chapter of Genesis. And you can read it for yourself. But what Abraham said was, I need a burial place so I can put my dead wife out of my sight. Because her body would be going back to the dust of the earth. So we understand that. We see that, you know, and understand it. But when you reach the years of the accountability, your soul dies. And your soul is corrupt. Now, you may think that's a hard statement. And I don't mean to be ugly. And I don't mean to be hateful about this at all in any way. But you see, your soul is sinful, and your soul needs to be redeemed, and it needs to be made alive. It has died, and it's going, to bring forth corruption. And so Abraham sought a place, to bury his dead wife. And when we become sinners, our sins are offensive to God. Now, that's the point that I was trying to make, and I may have done a poor job of making it. But a dead body soon becomes offensive. You don't want it around, you see. It, because of the stench and the decay and everything. And that's why we bury them and we make provisions, to put them away respectably. The body would be offensive to us. We just couldn't tolerate it. But did you know that the soul of a man that is dead in trespasses and in sin is offensive to God? God does not love sin. God hates sin. And that's why the soul needs to be regenerated. And it needs to be given life. And it needs to be brought out of that state of corruption that it's in. And it needs to be made holy and right in the sight of God. And that takes place in that spiritual resurrection from the dead. And it becomes alive in Christ Jesus. Not only does it become alive, but do you know when you're dead in trespasses and in sins, you don't have a relationship with God? But once you're born again, and that new life is given to you, you have a relationship with God. God becomes your Father. And you become his child. And you're able then to have fellowship with God. And you can worship him. And he blesses you. And you can enjoy the blessings that he gives to you. And I'm talking about spiritual blessings. I think there are a lot of people that don't understand that salvation is a relationship, It is being made right with God, being made right in the sight of God, becoming a child of God, becoming an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So, Paul said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And he said, it's done by the grace of God. It's not of works. I think that it's commendable to live a good life. It's very commendable. But just living a good life won't get you to heaven. Because your soul is dead in trespasses and in sins. And until that is to your soul is brought out of that dead state and given life, you're not prepared to go to heaven when you die. Now, a couple of things I wanted to say about what the Bible says about the first resurrection. It is a spiritual resurrection. It says, blessed, and I'm turning to the book of Revelation, and I want to get this verse of scripture. In the 20th chapter and the 8th verse. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. You see, there's a radical change that takes place in the soul of man when he's saved, when he's born again, when he is given life. It's a radical change. And he said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. If you've been born again and saved by God's grace, you don't have to worry at all about dying and going to hell. There's absolutely no worry about it. Because the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice secures us. It secures us. And we have that hope that is both sure and steadfast. But anyway, over in the 21st chapter, now listen to what this says. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now how do you overcome? Do you outrun the devil? No, you can't do that. Do you, overcome through your works of righteousness or whatever? No, because until you're saved, you can't do works of righteousness. And, but he said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And in 1 John, I think it's either chapter 4 or chapter 5. I could turn, but I won't take the time. But it says, who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, and this is the victory that overcometh, even our faith. Putting our faith and trust in Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God, the one who give us eternal life. Putting our faith and trust in Jesus will make us overcomers. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. He rose from the dead and he's alive. But listen what it says. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus had made provision and fixed it so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be brought out of this state of sin and death, and have eternal life and look forward to heaven and eternity in the presence of the Lord God of heaven. I'm concerned about our lost friends that come to our church. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be saved. I want you to be free from the guilt of condemnation. I want you to have the assurance in your heart that you're going to heaven when you die. I want you to be prepared for it. Life is uncertain, death is sure. We don't know when we're going to die. But the Bible said the living know they're going to die. You know, we know that. We see it. Our loved ones experience it. And it grieves us. And we mourn for their loss. And nothing we can do about it. Because it's appointed unto men once to die. And so, I want you to get saved. I don't want you to spend eternity without God and without hope in the world. Now, I trust that God will bless the message. I hope you can understand what I've tried to explain. If you've reached that point in your life where you're accountable, you know you're not right with God. There's something between you and God. And you have that fear. You're afraid to die. You know if you die without God, you're going to be lost forever. And you want to get rid of that. There's a way to get rid of it. It's to come to Jesus. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And put your faith and trust in Jesus. And you'll experience being raised from a state of sin and death to life eternal. It's a wonderful experience. I want you to have it. Brother Wayne, let's have a song. If you want to seek the Lord today, and you have to want to, you have to want to. This is a gift of God. It's not forced upon you. Not forced upon you. You have to want it. If you want to be saved and you want to come to Jesus and you want to come and pray today, I want to give you that opportunity while we stand and sing. You need to prepare to meet God. Make preparation to meet God while we stand.
Number 34.